Father in heaven, thank you for life. Despite the aches and pains, the trials and tribulations, we're happy to be alive today. We thank you for that. If we've sinned against you today, God, forgive us. Jesus shed his blood and then rose from the dead to make a forgiveness available to us. Forgive us for his sake and also because you love us. Father, I desire to speak only your words. And so I'm asking you to remember the words of David in 2 Samuel 23, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Put your words in my tongue. Remember your promise to Moses, Exodus 4, verse 12. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Tell me what to say, dear God. And bless my brothers and sisters with comprehension, that lives may change, decisions may be made. Bless those listening via the internet, Father. Bless them greatly and bring them closer to the cross. Save as many of us as will allow you to save us. In Jesus' name I pray. Let God's people say, amen and amen. Our subject, present truth in all ages. It's about 12:30. I'll try to release you by 1:15. Temperance in all things, including preaching. Let me tell you a couple of things about Jesus. One man said to Christ, you know, I'll follow you. Christ said, the fowls of the air have nests. The foxes have what? Holes. The Son of Man hath not where to what? Lay his head. Jesus Christ would eat breakfast at your house, lunch at hers, and supper at his. That's how he lived. He had no house of his own. When he was dedicated in the temple of Jerusalem, his parents brought turtle doves. Why? They were poor. This means that poverty is not a sin. Let me say one other thing. Christ did not come to die because people are poor, as most television preachers will have you believe. Because all they preach is what? Get rich. The problem with the world is not poverty. I'm not glorifying poverty. I'm saying the problem of the world is not poverty. Christ did not die to make poor people rich materially. Now, Christ went up into the temple to speak once in John 7. You don't have to go there. And the Bible says, the Jews marvel, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Are you following me? Christ did not attend Harvard of his day, or the University of Temple Hills, or any other school. Christ was educated at his mother's knee and by his father. Christ did not die because people didn't graduate from high school. Not having an academic degree is not a sin. Are you with me? All right. Christ lived a life on this earth. He never married. Not being able to find a man is not a sin. Now, if you find one, God bless you. But not being able to find a spouse is not a sin. Christ did not die because people are single. Because being single is not a sin. Jesus had no children. Nor did Jeremiah, or Daniel, or Paul, as far as we know, or the three Hebrew boys, or John the Baptist. It is not a sin not to have children. Christ didn't die that every woman's womb might be opened. Why did Christ die? Give me one word. Sin. Let me say these words carefully. Listen carefully. The only problem you and I have, finish my words, is sin. The gospel is a very simple thing to understand. It has to be simple because the Lord desires to save how many people? All people. And some people are highly educated, very intelligent. Others are not so intelligent. If God desires to save everyone at every level, the method of salvation must be simple. What did Christ say when he came to this earth? What was his message? Before we look at the message of Christ, let's look at the message of a man who was sent to prepare the way for Christ. Give me his name quickly. John the Baptist. He was the cousin of Christ, older than Jesus by 6 months. Let's go to Matthew 3. We'll read from verse 1. Our subject, present truth in all ages. Matthew chapter 3, reading from verse 1. We'll read 1 and 2. And I read from the King James Version of the Bible. And those of you listening via internet, I hope you have your Bibles nearby. The Bible says, in those days came home John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying what? Repent ye, why? For the kingdom of is at hand. What was John's message? Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does John mean, or what did he mean by repent? Turn away from that which brought Christ to this earth to die and to bleed and to suffer and to have people spit in his face and to have the soldiers punch him while he was blindfolded and then ask him, who hit you? Turn from that. He came to prepare the way of the Lord, to make his path straight. Now, a straight path, there's nothing confusing about a straight path. Are you with me? A path like this, you see, Ellen White says, the devil is very sinuous and serpentine. God comes from A to B. Now, go to Matthew 4. Remember, John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus. That was his mission given to him by God, the Father of Christ. If John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus, Jesus had to follow that way. Anyone agrees with that? All right. Matthew 4, reading verse 17. Our subject, present truth in all ages. It's 20 minutes to 1. Read with me. From that time began Jesus to what? Preach and to say what? Repent. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Does that remind you of anything? What? John the Baptist's message. He prepared the way, and Jesus came and walked right in that way. And his message was, repent. But let's read Matthew 4:17 again. This time we'll read it microscopically and see what we can deduce. From that time began Jesus to say, repent. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What do you understand by from that time? That man came to the revival at Temple Hills, and from that time, he gave up alcohol. What do you understand by that? He gave it up and left it. Now listen again. From that time, when he came out of the pool, he was baptized in chapter 3. He was tempted in the wilderness, chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. Now in 17, he starts to preach publicly. The Bible says, from that time, the time he came out of that baptismal pool and from the temptation, he began to preach and to say. Do you get the impression he only said it once? What impression do you get? That was his message. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist was told by God to preach, repent. Jesus Christ was told by God to preach, repent. Now I say he was told by God. Let me show you what I mean. Go to John 7. We'll read 14 to 16. John 7, 14 to 16. Now when I say read with me, I really mean it. It's not a command, it's a request. John 7, reading from verse 14, what is that saying? Now, by the midst of the feast, Jesus went up where? Into the temple to and taught. Yeah, he went up into the temple to teach. Now, next verse. And the Jews, stop. The Jews what? They marveled, saying what? How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And we talked about that earlier. Read verse 16 as Jesus answered them. What does he say? My doctrine, come on, is not mine, keep reading, but his that sent me. Now put two and two together. When Jesus said, repent, Matthew 4:17, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, what does that mean to you? Whose message was he preaching? The message of the Father. Go to John 8. John 8. We read 26, 27, and 28. Present truth in all ages. When you found it, say amen. Read with me. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is, and I speak to the world those things which I have. Yes. I only say what I got from God. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Read verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I what? Do nothing of myself, keep reading, but as my Father hath taught me, come on, I speak these things. I do nothing of myself, as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. You begin to understand why I ask you to say, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. Because the Father put his words where? In Jesus' mouth. And if Jesus needed that, you know how badly I need it. I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Go to John 10. John 10, let's read from verse 16. Our subject, present truth in all ages. When you found it, say amen. Read with me a familiar verse. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one and one shepherd. Verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me. Why? Because I lay down my life that I might. Yes. Now read verse 18. Read on. No man taketh it from me, but I lay down of myself. Stop. Now, go into microscopic mode and read the rest of 18. I have power to lay down. Come on. And I have power to finish the verse. This commandment have I received of my Father. The Father told Jesus when to die, when to get up. I have power to what? Lay it down, that's die. I have power to take it up. He meant authority. This commandment have I received of my Father. By the way, there's several verses in the New Testament that suggest, that say outright, the Father raised Jesus. They say that. But you need to understand that in the context of the fact that the Father told Jesus when to get up. Are you following me? But Jesus raised himself. He raised himself, but at the command of the Father. And so the Father takes credit for the obedience of his Son. So the Bible says the Father raised him, but the Father raised him in the sense that he came up when the Father told him to come up. If someone else had raised Jesus, Jesus would not have conquered death. The person who raised him would have conquered death. We need a Savior who of himself conquers death. And so the Bible says in Hebrews 1 verse 3, when he had by himself purged our sins. And to purge sins, you've got to die and get up. Because the dead Jesus cannot save you. So those who say the death of Christ was all that's needed for the atonement, they're dead wrong. He had to rise and apply the merits of that sacrifice. And so Jesus says, I do only what my Father tells me. I say only what my Father tells me to say. Let's go to John 14. Present truth in all ages. You see how remarkable the book of John is. All these texts that prove the Father told Jesus what to say are all found in the book of John. John specializes in talking about the relationship between the Son and the Father. Read that book sometime. Your life will change. John 14, let's read from verse 8. What does it say? Philip says unto him what? Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Now you read with me now, microscopically, the words, come on, that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. It is he speaking through me and telleth, speaking through me and saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the message of repent, even from John the Baptist, came right from the throne of God. Because he was the one who had to send his son for sin. One more verse. Verse 24 of John 14. Read it with me. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear, come on, is not mine. Finish the verse. But the Father which sent me. Now, I hope you're convinced that everything Jesus said, the Father told him to say it. If that's clear, say amen. Now listen to Jesus again. From that time began Jesus to speak and to preach and to say what? Repent. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Who was sending that message? God the Father. That's the highest authority in the universe. The Father is higher than the Son in authority, not in essence. They're all divine, but in authority. You see, here's the Father, here's the Son, here's the Holy Ghost. They're all divine. But with respect to authority and position, they're like that. Can you see these fingers? This is the way they are in essence and substance, equal. But in authority, they're this. That's the Holy Ghost, that's Jesus, that's the Father. So Jesus can say, My Father is greater than I. Not more God than I. He has more authority. Are you following me? All right. John the Baptist preached what? Jesus preached what? Go to Mark 6. Our subject, what is it? Present truth in all ages. Mark 6, you read verse 7 and verse 12. Mark chapter 6. Who has said, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth? Who has said that prayer? Thank you. The rest of you, hurry up and say it. Mark 6, reading verse 7. What does it say? And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Read verse 12. And they went out, come on, and preached that men should repent. That's the summary of what they had to say. Repent, because the problem is sin. The Bible doesn't say they went out and preached that men should get rich. Now get me, don't misunderstand, I'm not against money. Money's a blessing. It's a talent. Tremendous tool for easing suffering. But that's not why Jesus died. That's my point. He did not die because I'm poor. He did not die because you're single. He did not die because you did not finish the GED. Tell me why he died. One word. Sin. Selling drugs. Breaking into banks. Robbing people. Gambling. Lying. Cheating on my taxes. That's why he died. And with a natural inability to obey God, that power called sin. John the Baptist said, repent. Jesus said, repent. The disciples said, repent while he was on the earth. That's what they preached. Because he could check them and say, no, don't say that. But they said repent. But what did they say after he left? You see, when the cat is away, the mice will play. Are you following me? When Jesus left, what did the disciples say? Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we'll read from verse 37 and 38, our subject, present truth in all ages. It's 10 to 1. We have a few minutes left. We have a meeting at 3:30, one at 5, I believe, one at 6, so it's a long day. And we want to leave time for physical food. Can you say amen for that? All right. What book did I say? Acts. What chapter? 2. What verses? 37, 38. Read with me. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now they listened to a sermon on the day of Pentecost. They were convicted. And the question was, what shall... By the way, people are frequently asking Jesus, what must I do? Now we live in a world where everyone says, just believe. Just believe. The rich young ruler said, what must I do? The jailer of Philippi said, what must I do? Paul, when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, what must I do? The man who listened to Peter on Pentecost, what shall we do? Listen to me, there is a doing associated with your salvation. Not just believe, believe, believe. Stop going to that woman's house at midnight or any other time. Stop stealing, do something, stop it. Make a decision. Now I'll give you power to exercise that choice. What shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent. Now, John the Baptist said what? Jesus said what? The disciples, while Christ was on earth, said what? The disciples, when Christ left, said what? Repent. How far back does sin go on the earth? Adam and Eve, where did they live? In the Garden of Eden. Before they exited, there was sin in the Garden of Eden. Let's go to Genesis 2. I can never read that passage enough. What verses do you think I'll point you to? 16 and 17. I want you to read those two verses without looking. Don't look at the Bible. Say them. You must know these verses. But of course, you should need to peek a little. Okay. Genesis 2, 16, 17. Are you ready? Let me know by saying amen. Read with me. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Stop. The last word of verse 17, die. Listen to Romans 5:12. Let's go there. Romans 5:12. Keep the word die in your mind. It is first used by God. Thou shalt surely die. What's the only reason why people die? Let us go to Romans 5, verse 12. When you found it, say amen. Read with me. What does it say? Wherefore, as by one man, come on, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Stop. So when God told Adam, if you eat, you'll die, what did God mean by if you eat? If you sin. The only reason people die is because of sin. Let me say something you may find difficult to believe at first. People don't die of cancer. They die from sin. Cancer is just an expression of sin. The servant of the Lord tells us, all sickness is the result of sin. So God told Adam, in the day you sin, because sin is disobedience, you will die. But the devil said, no, in the day you sin, you will live. That's why he said, eat. And people believe that up to this day. The way to be blessed is to disobey God. And so sin goes all the way back to Eden. Now, let's go to chapter 3. And let's read verses 6, 7, and 8. Chapter 3, 6, 7, and 8. Present truth in all ages, 5 to 1. If I need an extra 10 minutes, can I have them say yes? All right. Genesis 3, reading from verse 6. Read with me. You haven't found Genesis 3 yet? Okay. All right. Didn't thought it was so challenging, but okay. Do you have it now, Genesis 3, from verse 6? Read with the preacher. What does it say? And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Next verse. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Next verse. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Stop. When they realized, when they sinned in verse 6, they realized they were naked. What did they do? They covered themselves with leaves, aprons. Now, I want you to look closely. Well, let's go to verse 21 first. Of Genesis 3. Read with me. And to Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Let's look at the two verses, 7 and 21. Before I do, let's pray again. Holy Father in heaven, if I've said anything I shouldn't have said, forgive me. Now give me more of your spirit as I come to the conclusion, because the last thing I say may be what people take away. So be with me now, God. Bless those listening in person and via internet. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Listen to 7. Read with me now. And the eyes of them both were open. Now, before we read the verse completely, we're looking for pronouns. He, she, them, they, us, we, it. Are you with me? All right. Tell me how many pronouns you find in that verse. Not only pronouns, but names and pronouns. Read with me now. And the eyes of them both, we have to keep both as well, were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. How many pronouns did we find? 6. Referring to whom? Adam, come on. And who else? Adam and Eve, and who else? Adam and Eve, and who else? Where do you see the devil? Show me. Adam and Eve, and who else? Nobody else. Nobody else in that verse. Listen to the verse again. And the eyes of them both, who was that? Were open, and they knew, who's that? That they were naked, who's that? And they sewed fig leaves, who's that? Made themselves, who's that? Aprons. Nobody else. The devil can't make you sin. Are you with me? He didn't point a gun at Eve's head. Or at Jesus' head in the wilderness. He said, Jesus, if you don't mind, please sin. That's the way he functions. Sin is an invitation. Or temptation is an invitation. Sin is saying yes or no. Now, having read verse 7, listen to verse 21. Let's pick out the nouns and pronouns. Are you ready? Read with me. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, made the Lord coats of skins and clothe them. How many pronouns and nouns? 5. How many people are in that verse? 3. Name them. Adam, Eve, and God. Now, what's going on in that verse that we have Adam, Eve, and God, but we do not have God in verse 7? What's happening in 7? They're separated from God in 7, and they're doing what? They're taking care of their sins. How? In their own way. God has nothing to do with that. But in verse 21, where forgiveness has taken place, We don't have leaves in 21. We have skins that came from animals. And according to Leviticus chapter 1, it's always the sinner that kills the animal, not God. Adam killed that animal in the garden, not God. As I've heard some people say, not God. There's bloodshed. Adam and Eve can't be forced by God. Remember, he's a God of choice. They accepted. You see, when they heard the voice of God in verse 8, they ran. But now they're in God's presence. They must have come back. So we're reasoning through the scriptures. They have come back. They have accepted the coats, and God has removed the aprons of leaves. How do we know, you know, he removed the aprons? Because in Zechariah chapter 3, God said, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, I will cause thy iniquity to pass from thee, and will clothe thee with change of raiment. Something has to be removed and something put on. In verse 21, we have forgiveness, we have conversion, or we have justification by faith. God is dealing with sin. That's all he's dealing with, sin. That's all he deals with from then until now. Sin. So Adam and Eve, while the word is not mentioned, they clearly repented of their sins. Are you following me? Because to be clothed with the covering of Christ is to accept the righteousness of Christ. Revelation 16:15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Revelation 3, verse 18, I counsel thee, buy of thee gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and a white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. The white linen of the saints is the righteousness of Christ, Revelation 19, verse 8. So it was the righteousness of Christ represented by those coats of skin. God was dealing with sin. Adam and Eve had repented. And so Christ came and said, John the Baptist said, repent. Who told him to say that? Jesus preached, repent. Who told him to say that? The apostles preached repent when Christ was on earth. Who told them to say that? They preached repent when Christ was gone back. Who told them to say that? Repent, repent consistently, because repentance is present truth in every age. The three angels' messages was not present truth in the days of Noah or Jeremiah or Isaiah. It's present truth now. Are you listening to me? It's present truth now. The commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. But repentance is present truth in every age of earth's history. Let me demonstrate that biblically for you. Go to Revelation 2. Revelation 2, we'll read verse 5. Well, let's read 4 and 5. This is the message to the church where? At Ephesus. What are the seven churches to whom Christ sent seven letters? Name them in order. Without looking. This is an Adventist church, I believe. Name them. First church. Second one. Third one. This mic is not working. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Which one applies to us? Okay. So we're in Revelation 2, 4, and 5. Read with me. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Why? Because thou hast left thy first love. Not lost. Left. Are you with me? A lot of people leave their first love. They don't lose it. They leave it. Read verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Stop. What church is represented by the church at Ephesus, prophetically? The first century of the Christian church, represented by a white horse. That is the apostolic church set up by Christ. And the message is, repent. Go to Revelation 3. This is the very last church. Name that church. Laodicea. You read verse 19 of Revelation 3, our subject, present truth in every age. Revelation 3, verse 19. When you found it, say amen. Read with me. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Come on, be zealous therefore and repent. Now we have a 2,000 year period. In the days of the apostles, repent. Today, 2,000 years later, repent. Five after one. I have 10 minutes. I don't mean to be hard. I just mean to be direct. Keep in mind, anytime I preach, I'm preaching twice. I've preached to myself. Then I preach it to you or whomever is listening. Your problem and mine is sin. It is not the pastor. It is not the conference. Now I'll tell you. Go to Genesis 3. Let me explain why it is not the conference or the pastor or even your spouse. It's you. Genesis 3. Let's read from verse 9. When you found it, say amen. Read with me. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now that's personal. I heard your voice. I was afraid. Come on. I was naked. I hid myself. He didn't say Eve hid me. No one can make you sin, even with a gun to your head. You can choose death over sin. Daniel chose it. The three Hebrew boys chose it. Jesus chose it. Christians need to realize you have a choice, and the choice is die. I heard thy voice in the garden of Genesis 3:10, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Verse 11, and he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shouldst not eat? Read verse 12. And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. What game is he playing? The blame game. Sister, you sound like an expert. The blame game. Huh? That is the result of sin. A sinner naturally blames someone else for everything that's bad and takes credit for what's good. Ah, you're not listening. I'm talking to myself. Listen to the woman. Verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? Finish the verse. And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Worse than that, it's genetic now. Not me. But you have the thing in your hand, the knife with the blood. Not me. This is serious. Well, I don't have time to preach this, but let me tell you now briefly. That's the problem with the law and obedience. The sinner blames the law for being too hard. And so they say, change it. But what's really hard? Come on. This. Not the law. This. But sin has given us the blame game mindset. And so we've got to blame anyone except me. So we blame the law. Change it. And I'll keep it. What does the Bible say? The law is not grievous. The commandments are not grievous, meaning hard or burdensome. If they're not grievous, they are easy. This is hard. But because I'm a sinner, I can't confess I'm no good, so I blame the law that the Bible describes as holy, just, good, spiritual, Psalm 19:7, perfect. So I can't keep the seven-day Sabbath. Too hard. No. The Bible says it's easy. If you let God change this. So Adam said, that woman. And the woman said, that snake. That's why we blame the pastor. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. You remember the Pharisee in Luke 18? It can't be me. It's the pastor. It's the deacon. It's my husband. Doesn't talk to me. It's the conference. They have some guys on the conference committee that believe in a spiritual formation. It's their fault. No. Finish my word. It's your fault. And mine. And so I say again. Our problem is sin. There is something we're doing. We need to stop. Or all the soy milk will be useless. All the veggie links, as good as they are, and the smoothies, no value eternally, because there's something you're holding on that's working against the soy milk. Sin. Listen to me. The human heart is so hard. Some people only confess sin on the deathbed. Only when they see death. Okay, I was wrong. That's how stubborn we are. Now we're on the church board. We're on the conference committee. We do this. We do that. But we will not let go sin. And so the pastor can't preach. And the church doesn't have a nice enough parking lot. And they don't have programs for my children. And this and that and that. But no one turns a finger and says the problem is sin in my life. Today, God the Father is speaking to you through John the Baptist, Jesus, and the apostles. Of course, His Word. Give me one word that the Father is saying to you and to me right now. Repent. Let's do that. You don't need a degree from the University of Maryland to understand what the Bible wants. Stop doing what you're doing. Let me explain it this way. You go to the doctor, and you complain of chest problems. You can't breathe. The doctor examines you, and he notices spots on your lung. And he sees a bulge in your top pocket. Virginia Slims. What does he tell you? Stop smoking. In other words, stop doing the thing that's killing you. He can't tell you switch brands. Are you with me? Commit smaller sins. Or don't sin so often. And sin only on weekends. Stop. If he doesn't say that, he needs to have his license revoked. Or she. You go to the doctor. You complain of your liver. He examines you and he sees the initial stages of cirrhosis of the liver. And he sees a brown paper bag bulging out of your back pocket, your Levi jeans. And he smells the perfume on your breath, the alcoholic perfume. What does he tell you? Stop drinking. He can't say go from bourbon to whiskey. Stop drinking because you are killing yourself. Listen to me. The man or the woman who holds on to sin, finish my words, is killing himself or herself. And most of us do it gladly, with a look of pride. I am the man. I am the woman. Sin has made us suicidal. Father, out of love, isn't repent a message of love? Stop doing what you're doing. Correct your swing so you stop missing all the time. And today God tells us, as I say for the second time or third or fourth, let's repent. Turn away. Turn away. Ask God to help us to turn away. We must make the choice. He provides the power. Are you with me? But you see this desk? Let's say I try to lift it with one hand and I can't lift it. And I try, I can't lift it. That's my sin, you see. I can't move it. And I pray to God, say, Father, through your word. The word that said, let there be light, and there was light. Through your powerful word in my heart, give me the victory over this sin. I still have to try to lift. Are you following me? Now, when I do that now, divine power is combined with my human effort. And the thing comes. But most of us say, Lord, move it. You move it because you committed it. But I'll give you the power. Combine it with your effort and you will experience the victory. Identify in your mind and I'll in mine. What is it we need to repent of right now where we sit or stand? There's at least one thing. Make up your mind right now to stop. And see the change in your life. Mental, spiritual, your conscience clears a bell. Your immune system strengthened. Nothing suppresses the immune system like sin. And guilt. I'm always looking around. Present truth in all ages. From Eden till now. My brothers and sisters, when I leave this desk, I want to be able to say to God, Father, I told them as directly as I could without being rude. And I reminded myself, I cannot be held responsible for anyone who leaves and still holds on to whatever is killing him or her. I am not responsible. As Paul said, wherefore I take you to declare this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Who will say, Father, I need victory over something. And I want that victory to start today because your son died because of that weakness of mine. Forget other people. Christ died for you. That's why he went looking for one sheep in the parable of the shepherd who lost 1 out of 100. Christ died for you, not just the world. So who will say, Father, there's something I need to conquer. I am willing. I need help. Can I see your right hand? Stand up with me. Serious people, stand up. I need help. In Genesis 11, don't go there, just listen. When God observed the building of the Tower of Babel by the men and the women who built it, the Bible says, and the Lord came down to see the tower and the city which the children of men builded, Genesis 11:5. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. And they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. In other words, they are determined to build that temple. And if divine power doesn't stop them, no power can stop them. They were so determined. Now why am I saying that? Let's tell God, I am determined to conquer that sin. And no power from hell will stop me. I am determined to break that habit that you've identified in your mind. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus, who was severely tempted and resisted in your strength through faith in your word, as we are to do. We thank you for the message, dear God, present truth in all ages. Now, Father, for those of us whose hearts have been touched, and there's genuine conviction going on right now, we have all stood the pulpit and the pew to say, there's something I need to stop. It may be small, dear Father. It may be huge. It makes no difference because what Adam did was just to eat a fruit. And that's not big. But it would have destroyed him had he not confessed. And so, Father, we say to you, Lord, we want to break this habit. We want to cast out that thing that is killing us. Spiritual condition is not the pastor's fault. It is not the conference's fault. It is not our spouse's fault. It is our fault because we're not 6 or 5 years old. We're adults. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, as I make this call, dear God, let your spirit work vigorously. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Is there someone who needs to come back to Jesus? You were close. And you drifted. He never shoved you away. You drifted. You know you have. This is no guesswork. You know you have. then you will say today, Father, I'm coming back. I want to be close where it's safe with my Savior, and by His grace, never leave Him again. If you have drifted and you want to come back, come to the front. You've drifted, not made a mistake. You've drifted. You want to come back seriously, come to the front. I've drifted. This is serious business now. There has been a trend of departure from God. As I review my past 18, 24 months, 3 years, I have drifted from God. I want to come back. Come to the front. Just come down. If it applies to you, come to the front. You weren't killing people, you weren't robbing banks, but you know in your heart, you've drifted from God. God bless you, my brother. Come to the front. You know, in the book, Great Controversy, page 509, paragraph 2, Ellen White writes, many a man of cultured intellect and pleasing manners who would not stoop to what is ordinarily regarded as an immoral act is but a polished instrument in the hands of Satan. Ah, you're not a murderer, a bank robber, but you've drifted in every other area of your life. Come. Say, Father, I'm coming back. Come. There are a lot of polite people who belong to the devil. Very nice and talented and polished and the devil's servants. Come. I'll give you 60 seconds to come. They begin now. The call is, I know in my heart I have drifted from God. As I examine my life, I'm coming back. Come. God bless you, sister. God bless you. 45 seconds. This is serious. You may say, let me wait for the next service. Well, the next service will not be exactly like this. The Spirit doesn't work the same way twice all the time in the same life. This is the service the Lord sent you to. Come. 30 seconds. I have drifted from God. The people who said crucify him were all in church, but they couldn't be any farther from God. 20 seconds. I've drifted. I'm coming back. Come. Be serious as the Spirit of God talks to your heart. 10 seconds. Then I have a second question to ask before I pray. Second question, there's someone who you want to make a decision to be baptized or rebaptized because of your past life. Baptized or rebaptized, you'd like to make that decision now. Not set a date, just make the decision publicly. Let God know you are willing to be baptized or rebaptized. Let me see your hand. If there's someone like that, willing to be baptized or rebaptized, just raise your hand. I'll also give you 60 seconds, and I pray for both groups. Willing to be baptized or rebaptized? Evangelism, page 375, paragraph 2, the servant of the Lord writes, when a soul is truly reconverted, let that soul be rebaptized. Let him renew his covenant with God, and God will renew his covenant with him. Reconversion must take place in the churches. 30 seconds. Baptism, rebaptism, God bless you, have a hand. I need someone who write the names. I have another hand. Another hand. God bless you. God bless you. Now I need, come. Don't be afraid. Come. You raise your hand for baptism or rebaptism. Come. Come. I want you separate from the other group. Come. Come quickly. I'll pray, let you go. Come. Someone come and take names. I want copies of the names so I can pray for you myself. Come. Yeah, baptism or rebaptism to the right or to my left and over to the right. Start with God again. This time get it right by His abiding power. 15 seconds left. Baptism, rebaptism before I pray. First call was, I have drifted from my God and I'm coming back. Second call, I feel convicted to make a decision to be baptized or rebaptized. I have no date, but I want God to see I am willing to take that step. That's the second call. 10 seconds on that. Then I pray. I want these names. Do we have them? Are we getting them? For those for baptism or rebaptism, we have my brother right here, Brother Marvion, then my brother and sister over to my right. Okay, these decisions must be taken very seriously. Okay, just before the names, let's pray. I'll pray first for the first group. Father, you led me to call for those who've drifted from you. Dear God in heaven, remember the parable of the prodigal boy that Jesus spoke at your instruction. Every day the father looked and looked and looked. When he saw the boy stumbling up the path, he ran to meet him. Let your sons and daughters who've answered the call to return to you, let them know that your arms are wide open. There's rejoicing in heaven. And as you wrap your arms around them, draw them to your bosom, dear God, let them feel that divine heart beating with excitement for their return. And with that return, God, let them make up their minds, I don't want to drift from my Savior again, because the next time I may never come back. Please, God, those who made decisions for baptism or rebaptism, bless them. Let them decide, I am resuming my walk with my Savior. And I want to fulfill Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? And for my Savior and I to agree, I have to do things His way. And so bless this second group, dear God. And just before I close, Father, I pause for the last time. Who else will say, I have drifted far from God and I need to come back? Who else will say, I'm deciding for baptism or rebaptism in the last 15 seconds? Raise your hand. Baptism, come, sister, come, come, come. Baptism, rebaptism, come. Please get that name for me, please. The call also, I've drifted from God and I want to come back. Father in heaven, I made a human effort to represent you. If I was weak in that, forgive me. But your Spirit is all-powerful. Let the Spirit now take this puny effort of mine, Father. Shape this message like a needle and prick the hearts that need that conviction. Let no one leave this building without making a decision based on what they've heard. Let no one cut off the internet who may be listening without making a decision to repent and come back to God. Fill our hearts, dear God, with the consciousness of the shortness of the time in which we live. Fill our minds with the consciousness of the deadly nature of sin. Now, Father, give us a love for righteousness. Bless every family, every individual, every man, woman, boy, and girl in this building and on the internet. Father, with every day that passes, let us seek to draw closer to your presence. Hear this humble prayer, dear God. When you come into your kingdom, save all of us and those who've come to know you through our holy influence. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Let God's people say, Amen and Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.